Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
With your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you
now joins us with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us around the campfire.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
We're excited to have you on the program. It's a fun time of year coming into the holiday season.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of fun events that are coming up in our state parks.
The fishing is really starting to pick up right now. Now that the temperatures are cooling, the fish are really starting to feed. Just before ice hits some of these waters, they get very aggressive.
Yes, it's a great time to go fishing in our state parks. DWR is stocking our reservoirs so that fish are available for you to enjoy. But as we get to these cooler temperatures, water is cooling down as well. So as much as we encourage you to go out to our reservoirs, fish in these areas on our reservoirs and lakes, also encourage you to be safe in that water. And that is where we're talking about cold water safety. So cold water immersion is one of the most dangerous situations recreators face in Utah's colder months. We encourage everybody to dress for cold water, not cold air, as well as, of course, wear a life jacket. It's called a life jacket for a reason. It can and will save your life in these situations. So even strong swimmers can lose muscle control within minutes of exposure to cold water. So we just encourage everyone to, again, plan ahead and prepare. Let people know where you're going. Check ice conditions, water temps, or carry a communication device. It's your first line of defense is awareness. You can also go on our park websites to check for water temperatures. They try and keep those updated as much as possible. You can call the visitor centers for water temperatures as well. We're already seeing temperatures drop to the 60s and 50s and are going to keep dropping. So really, we want you to stay safe out there. And if you're like, you know, I'm a strong swimmer, I've done a cold plunge before, I completely understand, but I'm going to give you a few things to keep in mind that really kind of drive home why cold water safety is so important. So a couple of facts. 20% of those who fall into cold water die within the first minute because of the shock from the cold water. So it's not necessarily how strong of a swimmer you are, it's that shock. Because cold water causes an involuntary gasp or torso reflex, and it takes less than half a cup of water in your lungs to drown. So our body heat is lost 25 times faster in cold water than cold air, and a life jacket is the single best tool you have to survive that initial shock and stay afloat. So remember the 1-10-1 principle. 1 minute of uncontrolled breathing, your life jacket keeps your head above the water. 10 minutes of useful movement, self-rescue or reach your boat, and 1 hour before hypothermia can cause unconsciousness. So staying safe is one of the most important aspects of fishing and being out on that cold water. We want you guys to find those great fish and be able to either put them back in the water or take them home. So take the precautions necessary to get back home after that fishing trip, to get back in your boat, wear that life jacket, wear the correct layers, dress for the correct water, not just the cold air. And as much as, you know, we press that safety, we really do want you to have a good time. And having that peace of mind of a good time starts with safety.
Exactly. It's always fun to be safe, isn't it?
Of course. I don't know of any fish that decides not to hook on your line because you're wearing a life jacket. So I encourage everyone just to take the precaution that's necessary. We want you guys to get home after these events. We want you to have a fun, safe, peaceful time out there.
I'm excited about the upcoming ice fishing season. I know usually, well, not usually, lately it's changed a lot, but right after Thanksgiving, sometimes even as early as Thanksgiving, Schofield even has ice on there. That's one of the first waters in the state to get ice. There's never safe ice. You always got to check those conditions every day, but opportunities will be starting to come up soon, and understanding where the life jacket you get on the ice is a critical part of your safety.
Of course, just keeping on that line of safety, it's one of the most important aspects of ice fishing. So again, be sure to dress in layers and have all the needed equipment to stay warm. Of course, our safety recommendation is to not go into the ice unless it's at least 4 inches thick. So be sure to drill test holes in the ice as you venture onto it, or take a spud bar or an ice chisel. It's early in the season, so you can test the ice regularly as you walk out, because that ice thickness can vary across whatever water body you're on. So make sure to stay safe. Also, avoid putting large groups of people and equipment in a small area. Try and spread the weight out. But as we get closer to when those temperatures start to freeze over the water, our state parks do have a lot of fun fishing tournaments and events that happen every year. So as we get closer, dates, tournament information will become available. So keep an eye out. We're excited to host you guys in our state parks. And personally, I believe they're some of the best places to do your ice fishing. So stay safe and be on the lookout for some fun events that are coming up.
I know that's a smart move to hold off, because you never know what the weather is going to do. With the warmer temperatures, we see some of these winters, sometimes it just needs to be pushed back a little bit until temperatures are just right.
Yeah, we want to make sure you have the best conditions possible for your ice fishing. And that means listening to Mother Nature and knowing what's happening out there. We definitely don't want to rush anything with ice fishing. We want to make sure you have the best conditions to stay safe and have a good time while you're out there.
This is a great time of year. There's so many things going on, from ice fishing to cross-country skiing to snowshoeing to tubing to camping to some of these holiday opportunities. There's something for everybody to get out there for and really enjoy here at state parks.
There really is. Make sure to check out your state parks, whether it's the local one in your backyard or one that you finally feel like it's worth the trip out to. Check them out. We have a lot of great things going on, even including our ranger program. I know that you might have in mind, when I go to this park, I'm going to do this hike, or I'm going to do this activity, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But I really love going to our ranger program. We have rangers out there talking about a variety of topics, from birds to stars to landscapes, everything in between. You can learn a little bit more about your park and love it a little bit more, too. And it's a great opportunity to just learn from a ranger, whether it's for kids or even the curious adults. It's great to go out there. So I encourage you to also head to a ranger program. Head to your parks. We have a lot of fun stuff happening. And it's great that in Utah we have all of these outdoor opportunities. So I encourage everyone to take advantage of them.
And just because the sun sets earlier at night, it doesn't mean the fun is over. Some of our dark sky parks, it's our state parks, are amazing. We just had a beautiful evening the other night with the northern lights, spectacular colors. There's lots of meteor showers coming up. There's lots of things to be seen during the winter months.
Of course. Yeah, our night skies here in Utah are incredible. Now, you might be thinking, if you live in an area that's pretty populated with people and has a lot of lights, that you might think that you're too far away to see night skies. Well, Antelope Island is a night sky park that you can just drive out there and see night skies. There are tons of places close by or worth a couple-hour trip where you can see spectacular night skies. You can see those stars, and it was so incredible. We're seeing photos from state parks from all over that are showing that aurora borealis, and we want to encourage people to connect with your night skies. We have so many star party programs and night sky programs that teach people about the night sky, that have telescopes that you're able to look through. I know that some of our parks are going to be having events for the meteor showers coming up. So again, keep an eye out. And there's still much of the park after dark, so make sure to check it out.
If folks want to find out the nearest dark sky park near them, where do they go?
So you can check your website. I believe there is a website that lists all of the night sky parks. We do have many that have that label, that is labeled as an international dark sky park and place. There's many other parks that don't have the designation yet that are still great places to see the night sky. But if you do want to check the places that are registered as international dark sky places, I would go to darksky.org. But also, if you're looking for night sky programs, each of our parks post their events on their website. And the Utah State Park social media pages, we do a monthly things to look forward to, events to look forward to, where we list out some of the programs that are happening. So just going on social media right now and looking at what we have listed for November, I know that in a couple days we have some night sky parties happening. So, for example, there are going to be star parties and constellations and mythology at Dead Horse Point State Park, at Goblin Valley State Park, at Sand Hollow State Park. There's a lot of weekends throughout the months and different days that we have these things going on. There's going to be a new moon star party at Utah Raptor. There's going to be their star party finale at Goblin Valley State Park. There's more at Snow Canyon. So they're all over the state. They're super exciting. Check out a program. But if you're unable to check out a program, if you're camping overnight, take the time to stay outside and stay up a little bit longer to see the stars. They're incredible to see.
Utah has more dark sky parks than anywhere else in the world, thanks to Utah State Parks.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, we have a wonderful array of people who are participating in this program, but I will say I am kind of biased, but our state parks do a lot of that lifting. We have a lot of great dark sky parks here.
And the programs are amazing. They're fun to check out. A star party, if folks have never been to a star party, they're pretty cool. I mean, a lot of times there'll be more than a couple telescopes out there. It seems like there's a little competition sometimes. They're going, oh, wow, I got Saturn's rings on mine. Or look at this, I got this on my scope. And if you're shopping for the holidays, it's a great opportunity to see what type of telescope might do what you want, whether it be astrophotography, whether it be just night sky viewing, whether you just want a tour of the universe. Our state parks are the launch pad to tour the universe. It's just remarkable, these dark sky parks. And with the newer telescopes, you don't even need to know where anything is. You line things up with the GPS, you point it to the right north, it'll check a few stars to make sure it's calibrated, and you say, hey, give me a tour of the universe. And it'll take you to some of the coolest views of the night sky. It's remarkable, the technology, and it's become so much more affordable in the recent years. It's incredible. And thanks to these dark sky parks and thanks to our Utah State Parks, this becomes much more accessible to the public.
Of course. And we even have our park rangers who are really knowledgeable at these night skies that can answer your questions and help explain to you what you're seeing. I know that you talked about having maybe a telescope as a holiday gift. So I want to make a little plug for our annual passes as a holiday gift. I mean, what better gift to get than access to Utah State Parks and outdoors? So if you're looking at a gift to give to your outdoorsy friend or family member or somebody that you know would enjoy all the events that are happening, check out our annual passes. You can buy them on our website or you can buy them at any state park location.
Those are great gifts. And they've changed so much. They've made access so much greater. Now you can have two signers on the thing. You could visit two different state parks at the same time. It's become much more accessible. You can have one on your phone. And it's 365 days again. It's a year pass again.
Yeah, it's a full year, and you're correct. You can have two signatures on the pass, allowing it to be used by two different users. So somebody can have the physical state park pass, and somebody can have it on their app where either they're in two different parks at the same time, or if you have two different cars, you can both be in the same park at the same time. We really want to get people into our parks. And that's why we want to make it so accessible for these passes. And what's important to remember is that state parks are entirely funded by visitor fees. And so we do depend on your guys' fees to keep running our parks. And so by buying a parks pass, you are directly helping these parks keep running. You're keeping them preserved and provided for this and generations to come. I mean, each person that visits a state park and pays their park fee, whether it's a daily or an annual parks pass fee, is doing their part to keep these places open and available for people. Not just for you and your family, but your kids, their kids, and their kids after that. So thank you to everyone who pays your fees, and get yourself a park pass and enjoy the 46 state parks we have throughout the state.
The nice thing I like about these passes and what we're doing with these is that state parks always reinvests that money back into the parks, whether it be park improvements, whether it be opening a new park like we just seen recently with Utah Raptor. There's always something in the cooker for the next season, and there's always something fun or unique, and our state park managers are always looking for new opportunities to introduce to their parks.
Of course. Yeah, we're always looking for more ways to improve the park experience. And so, again, thank you to everyone who's paying for your fees. You're paying for your bathrooms to get cleaned. You're paying for our park rangers' jobs. You're paying for that trail upkeep, all those great things that are going on. So check out our parks. They're pretty amazing. And we encourage everyone to come visit.
Agreed, 100%. Again, where do they get these state park passes as a great holiday gift?
You can buy it in person at a state park, or you can also go to parkspass.utah.gov to buy it online, and it'll be mailed to you.
One other thing I saw recently that kind of got me excited is the Mirabilites are starting to show up again at Great Salt Lake State Park.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. If you guys haven't seen it for yourself in person, we have a little post about it on our social media page. So the Mirabilite mounds are these shimmering spring-fed salt formations that are beginning to appear along the shoreline just east of the visitor center at the Great Salt Lake State Park. So what these are, they're formed from, I believe I'm saying this right, Glauber salt or Mirabilite. And these fragile layered terraces only show up when conditions align. So the lake has to drop low enough to uncover the springs. Those springs carry sulfite-rich water, and chilly near-freezing air triggers the salt to crystallize. So when all three come together, the result is a fleeting landscape that looks almost otherworldly. In fact, scientists study these rare formations for insight into similar features spotted on Mars. Pretty interesting. So the Great Salt Lake is one of the only few places on Earth where these unique spring-fed Mirabilite mounds naturally occur, making their return something really special to see. So go check them out and head to the Great Salt Lake State Park.
Those are so much fun. The first year they were discovered, we had to get some photos of them, and it does look otherworldly. You get it from the right angle. These things are magical. And again, we ought to probably remind folks, don't take anything with you. They won't last. Once they warm up a little bit, they start falling apart.
Of course. When we say leave no trace, not only do we mean taking your trash with you, but leave no trace also means not taking anything from the park with you. Like you said, these things aren't going to last, but for other aspects of the park, they're part of that environment. And if you think of it at a large scale, if everybody's taking something, well, there's nothing left. So we want to respect these places. These state parks belong to you. They belong to the people of Utah. They belong to every visitor that comes and enjoys them. So do your park, keep parks how they are, and leave no trace.
Great time coming up. Again, if folks want more information, where do they go?
Of course, go to our social media pages. We'll have monthly events listed there. Check out specific park websites if you're looking for different events that are going on. And yeah, check out parkspass.utah.gov for your own parks pass. And it's so great talking to you. Head to a state park. If you want to figure out what's going on, always call a visitor center if you want to know that information, or if you just want to head out, see for yourself.
Check out the great opportunities. Allie, I want to thank you for taking time with us. Anything else you want to wrap up with?
Again, it's important to remember, we want you to have a happy and healthy visit. Stay safe out there, check conditions, decorate responsibly, and check out these really great events that are going on, and enjoy the stocked reservoirs and the fishing conditions, and head to a state park near you.
Great stuff. Allie Aurelian joining us with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us, and we're looking forward to visiting with you again.
Thank you so much for having me. We hope to see you in our state parks.
Thank you again. Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. Smoke up some Bonneville whitefish just in time for the holidays. We're bringing out the fillet knife next on Western Life Radio.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
As we reflect on giving thanks this month, Sportsman's Warehouse would like to say thanks to you. Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah and now has stores across the nation. We love being your local outfitter and sharing in your success stories and outdoor adventures. Check us out on the web at Sportsman's Warehouse. Or come visit us, Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside. Celebrate the holidays right with some smoked Bonneville whitefish. Scott Tolentino with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources fires up the smoker.
Bonneville whitefish, they're definitely a unique fish. Not only do they grow pretty good size, and people are excited about that, but they fight really well when you're angling for them. But when it comes down to table fare, they're almost second to none. In fact, my favorite fish to eat out of Bear Lake, and these people, a lot of times they think whitefish, and they're thinking of the whitefish that are found in a lot of the rivers and streams and lakes around the state of Utah. And since they live in a lake, they don't develop a lot of intermuscular bones, and so that makes them really appealing to people who want to put them on the table to eat. And so a little bit different than the river whitefish, and they're very tasty. There's no difference between them and the trout anywhere that you catch out of any other lake. You need to skin the skin off of these, where some people leave the skin from a trout on them, but the scales on whitefish are large. But you fillet them just like you do a trout, but the meat is white, flaky, and it's, like I said, wonderful eating, and people just like to come up and fish for them for sport, too. And so you can do either or. Come up here and enjoy yourself. That's just about any way you would do, like, a white, tender, flaky fish. Anything like tilapia or walleye or wipers, you could use these whitefish out of Bear Lake and do them the same way. So you could either pan fry them, you could deep fry them, you could bread them. You don't really have to bread them, and just fry them in butter. And so they go well a whole bunch of different ways, but probably the most popular way, like you mentioned, is smoking them, and they're a wonderful fish.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. For your copy, download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
and carrying a firearm. Always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
To Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host this program. We have Mr. Chris Haller with us with Utah's OHV program. We've been talking about the youth snowmobile program for the last little while. What type of skills and what type of educational opportunities are they going to pick up by taking this course?
So what they'll pick up on is obviously personal protective gear, which is vitally important, along with layering. And so when I talk about the personal protective gear, I'm talking about the helmet, the full face, the layering of clothes, which would be good quality insulated over the ankle boots that are waterproof, along with snowmobile bibs, a snowmobile coat that is also water repellent, and then the layering, keeping that base layer and that inner core body temperature close at hand. And then along the same lines of those layering items of how to shift your weight when you're going into a turn or you're going uphill, ensuring that you're giving enough throttle power and that you have enough momentum to go up a hill, to understand that those skis are going to grab in different forms of snow, which we've seen here in Utah. A powder ride is a much more enjoyable ride compared to more of a heavier or wet snow ride experience. They'll also pick up specific Utah laws and rules like education course requirements, registration things, keeping their distance and not harassing or riding close or compromising those wildlife interaction experiences. And in addition to that, avalanche awareness information, trail etiquette, because we do encounter throughout the snowmobile season other people utilizing the trail that may not be into the motorized sport. And so we want to be able to be the ambassador of our motorized sport and ensure that everyone that's accessing our public lands are enjoying it and receiving an experience that they are seeking. And let's try to be very self-aware that whenever we're accessing our lands and being aware that those individuals are seeking a very similar experience, maybe just through a different form. Those are some of the things that they will come across: first aid kit type stuff, what signs and symptoms are of hypothermia, how to avoid those, not necessarily accessing iced over reservoirs or lakes, because there is no such thing as a safe thick ice assessment. All ice is dangerous. And so those are some of the key principles that they will be taking away from the course.
Sounds like it's an opportunity to learn some critical skills to ensure that they have a fun and safe time this winter. Winter is a lot of fun. It's magical, as both you and I know, but it's also very unforgiving if you're not prepared.
Yes, and as part of that preparedness, as we've mentioned before, you want to take some high-energy food. You want to take plenty of water. You want to let somebody know where you're going and stick to that plan. And so it is important for that to take place.
Again, if folks want to take advantage of these, again, this is not limited just to youth, this course. Anyone can learn something from the course.
Yes, absolutely. Or look at other alternatives that might exist out there through some of our additional resources, like the Utah Snowmobile Association on their Motorized Basics course. And that website address, again, for pretty much one-stop shopping is ohv.utah.gov.
OHV.utah.gov. We also have links on our website, folks, at westernliferadio.com. Pop over to the trailhead there, and you can see a link that goes right to them. And a lot of information there. Knowledge is power. And if you know what to avoid and know how to be safe, it just turns into so much better of an experience. Every year we hear about these tragic stories where people have a loss in their family or something else goes seriously wrong. You can avoid some of those if you know what to look for. And the avalanche courses right now are also a big key in avoiding those dangerous conditions.
Yeah, those avalanche courses, obviously, they go into a little bit more of detail of a snow science, but they provide you with wonderful information and great information on what to look for, how to avoid some of those steep slopes, looking at cornices, accessing the avalanche forecast website, the ability to ride within your limits. And so it is a very, very good course to take with those that are thirsty to know more. They give you the skill set of, hey, this is what you're looking for. This is how to utilize the equipment that you have. And all the equipment in the world is good, but is even better when you know how to utilize it. And so those types of courses provide that background information on what to look for, how to utilize it, and as you put it, Brian, I have additional knowledge in order to help my family, the group I'm riding with, or those less experienced riders that may be joining us for the day.
Exactly. And a lot of these folks are not primarily snowmobile riders. Like you said earlier, these are folks that may be using a snowmobile to get to a point to go cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or some other activity. In recent years, with these bigger, stronger machines, they're getting into places that can be more dangerous. They tend to be more prone for avalanches. They don't get maintained from avalanches. And we need to be aware of those situations before we come into those areas. It's so important to know what you're looking at, know what to avoid. Even the experts get into trouble, even on years when there's very little snow up in those hills.
Yes, that's very true. And also, in conjunction with that, snowmobiles are a little heavier compared to some of the other technology that has come along the way, like placing tracks on UTVs. Of course, most of the UTVs end up staying on the groomed snowmobile trail. Want to throw out a reminder that, hey, when you leave out on a UTV early in the morning, and when temperature is cooler, a UTV is going to stand up a little bit better on the groomed snowmobile trail. Coming back, probably going to create some ruts. And so be aware of that when you're going to a particular location. Obviously, the ability to change out one's off-highway motorcycle into more of a snow sled. Not allowed to mention any type of brands, but having that ability to modify your summer off-highway motorcycle into a winter experience, much lighter, and also have the ability to take you further into the backcountry, into some of those other further additional areas that normally motorized recreation hasn't really visited. So, like I said, important to know your ability, where you're going, and share that information with another party. And lastly, also be self-aware that there are wilderness areas that snowmobilers should not be accessing. So familiarize yourself with those open areas, because we really value not having people go into those areas, because what that does is that damages the opportunity for snowmobilers in general. So be aware of those. There's only a half dozen or so around the state. So let's do our part and just avoid those in general.
Exactly. And being knowledgeable about these things, being responsible when you go out in the backcountry, means that we reduce the odds of having search and rescues put themselves in risk to help you and bring your team out.
They are volunteers. Those search and rescue are friends, our neighbors, our relatives. They are volunteers and utilizing their own equipment.
I have so much respect for those folks. I mean, they get up at 3 in the morning to get out there and help someone they don't know. A lot of people would rather be snuggled up in bed, nice and warm, but they're willing to go out there in dangerous conditions to help other folks, and we certainly compliment them. They use their own equipment, like you say, their own time. They take time off of work a lot of times. And nothing but respect for these guys.
Yes, absolutely. And they could be out there all hours of the night in extreme conditions.
Anything we can do to minimize that need certainly is a beneficial thing. And also with the Avalanche Forecast Center, I know that they're gearing up for a lot of other things.
Yeah, every year we've looked at different unique things, and the Friends of the Utah Avalanche Center have been able to coordinate an effort. It's a great opportunity for some of those shops and dealerships and other vendors to be able to educate people on their beacon. That'll be taking place throughout the first week in December as the kickoff of the Utah Avalanche Awareness Week, and will continue thereafter.
I like that. Being safe on top of it, you can't lose.
No, not by all means. And hopefully trying to minimize some of the oversight that may take place in our crazy lives. Here's an opportunity just for that.
Also, really good opportunity right now to start practicing, reminding yourself how to use those beacons. How do you flip the switch over from receive to transmit? How do you find your other beacons under the snow? It's a good time to practice.
It is. You use leaves instead of snow if you have a lot of those around in your neighborhood. And as we continue to get snow in some of those higher elevations, some of those avalanche beacon check stations are currently up and running. And so that's a great way. And then, of course, you have those different test areas along the way that people can go and check and refamiliar themselves with their equipment.
Fantastic. Chris, we certainly want to thank you for all your service over these years. It's been a lot of fun visiting with you in all these different capacities that you've been in. It's been remarkable. Compliments to you all the way.
And the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much, Brian, for the friendship, the love given to us, and saying, hey, you want to do an interview on this, or wow, I didn't know about that, or you've definitely have offered that and have been one of the greatest supporters the program has. And thank you and your family, because I just know it's just not you. Your family has shown up to a lot of our different events and have been there supporting us at some of those different outreach events.
They love it. It's a joy on both sides, I think. Appreciate all that you do. Again, Trailhead one more time.
OHV.utah.gov.
Chris Howler joining us once again at the Trailhead with Utah's OHV program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brian.
Lake trout and Bear Lake cutthroat will soon be biting hard during the next few weeks. We're catching some lunkers next on Western Life Radio.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov. Bear Lake cutthroat and lake trout will soon be feeding fast as the whitefish spawn gets underway. Scott Tolentino with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources changes up the tackle.
Not only do you get to target whitefish on a fairly rocky, concentrated rocky habitat, but you'd have cutthroat trout and lake trout out in Bear Lake, and they're feeding at that time of the year. The lake trout runs over, and the cutthroat trout are getting fat before winter, and so they're in on that habitat trying to eat whitefish eggs. But that brings in the cutthroat trout, lake trout, which are eating those other small fish. And so don't be surprised to catch quite a few cutthroat or lake trout when you're in there fishing for whitefish, which makes it really exciting because if you're going to do, like I said, and use light tackle, that could be some pretty good fighting along there. And you hook into a big 7 or 8 pound cutthroat or 10 to 15 pound lake trout on 6 pound test line, it could be a good time. If you want to try to fish those same areas that people are fishing for whitefish and you're not interested in, say, catching whitefish per se, you can go with a little bit heavier tackle and cast a little bit larger spinner, spoons, anything that makes a little bit of noise and rattle. So there's a lot of crankbaits with BBs in them that rattle when you're reeling them in, or some of these Vibrac spinners, when you're reeling them in, they click or clank in the water. That really attracts the predator fish at this time of the year, and they like really aggressive lures like that.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Be safe this winter driving season. Make sure your car is in proper working condition and is stocked with blankets, warm clothing, booster cables, a fire extinguisher, and tools. Also, be sure to include bottled water, high-calorie snacks, a first aid kit, flashlights and batteries, a shovel, and ice scraper. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier, all with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
weeks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.